Okay, so we're back again to talk about angels, and boy, I'm enjoying this discussion and this teaching. I hope you are too. So in this particular lesson, I want to talk about, you know, some of the things that angels do. So let's start with in the book of Acts chapter 12, and of course, I'm trying to give you as many scriptures as I can. You have to look some of them up because I don't have time really to read all of them, but this is in Acts chapter 12 where the angel was sent to deliver Peter from prison. And the Bible describes it as a light shining in the prison and then the angel showing up. Now, there's two guards between Peter on each side, but the angel took off his chains. A light shone in the prison, and the angel said, "Get up and let's walk out of here." So his chains fell off. The guards remained asleep. Peter gets up, and the Bible says that every gate was unlocked. So the angels unlocked the prison door. He walked out, and he walked right by the guards because the Bible tells us that that second layer, he was in the inner prison, and the second layer is where all the guards were, and he just like walked right through the guards with this angel, and they never noticed him. And then it says that even when they got out of the prison to the gate of the city, that I guess they were going outside the city, but the gate of the city, the Bible says, opened all by itself. So there was possibly either the angel, you know, supernaturally caused the gate to open, or there was another angel that he could not see that actually, you know, opened the gate. So we see three different doors opening, three different gates opening, and we see chains, you know, falling off. We see the same thing in the Philippian jail when Paul and Silas were there. And the Bible says that there was an earthquake, not really an earthquake, but a shaking, and that the chains fell off Paul and Silas, and every prisoner in the prison got set free that night. That's when the Philippian jailer got saved, and that is when you know, the church of Philippi was born from that incident. So that imprisonment of Paul and Silas. So interestingly enough, that angel took off everybody's chains. This particular angel in Acts 12 is there to set Peter free and then takes him to a prayer meeting where the people are praying for him to be set free. So in Acts chapter 34, verse 7, we've talked about this one before, when the angels of the Lord encamp round about those who fear him to deliver them. So it's almost like camping angels in your yard, and they're just kind of waiting on something to go wrong, and then they deliver you. And I think many times you don't even know that's happening. You don't even know that they've delivered you because you just never saw it. You never saw the danger around you. You know, Satan had his way. He's got a target on all of our backs. He hates the work of the Lord. He would just destroy us. But I think that when we get to heaven, we're going to see the angels delivered us over and over and over again. And we didn't even know we were in danger. I kind of call that walking in the fog, which is the favor of God. So I think when you're walking in the fog, if you look outside and there's a lot of fog, you can't see anything because the fog covers it up. And I think that's kind of the way it is when angels are with you and the favor of God is with you. You're kind of invisible to the peril around you. You can't see it and they can't see you. That's the best part of all. That's why Peter was able to just walk through the prison. That's why Jesus walked through the crowd. And I think you and I walk through trouble and Satan's like, "Where did they go? You know, I can't find them. I showed up to scare them and they're gone." And we're not gone. We're just sitting there having our coffee. He just can't see us because of the fog, the favor of God around us. So I think that's part of the work of angels. Sometimes angels are sent to judge things. So if someone is in sin and God is trying to realign things and straighten things up, angels are often sent to judge things. And you see that that when God judged kings and that exalted themselves. Nebuchadnezzar is a good example of that. Other ones, King Herod in the Bible, they said he's a god, and the people started saying, this man is a god, not a man. That's in Acts 12. And the angel came down and struck him. And that says the angel of the Lord too, but it's not capitalized. So this is not God, a Christophany. This is an angel, because it's the word, you know, it's the Hebrew word for angel, or excuse me, the Greek word for angel, angelo, which or angelo, which literally means that God just sent an angel on assignment. So this angel was sent to bring judgment upon a sinner that was exalting themselves before above God. I think you'll probably like this, because I think everybody kind of imagines this anyway. But there's several scriptures in the Bible that talk about angels singing. So this must be like one of their favorite things. Now, I don't know if every angel sings. There could be a tone-deaf angel. I mean, we come in all shapes and colors and sizes and human form. Maybe they do too. But we do know that many angels do sing. The Bible talks about the angels that showed up at the birth of Christ, and suddenly there was with a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying. Now, the Bible does say saying instead of singing, but some people believe that when they said glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, of course that's in Luke 2, some people believe that was a choir. Other people believe it was an army. Either way, it was angels. We know that whether they were singing or chanting, that was angels. But we do know that Job chapter 38 says that the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, that reference to morning stars is a metaphor referring to angels. You're going to see that in Genesis, and you're going to see that again in Revelation, where the Bible says that the dragon drew a third of the stars down from heaven. And the dragon is a symbol for Satan, and the stars were symbols for angels. And the angels, the fallen angels that fell with Lucifer. You know, when you think about demons, I believe that demons are not created. I believe they are the fallen angels, and they're limited because there was only a certain amount of them. If a third of them at that time fell with Satan, that means that there's two good angels to every bad angel, but because God creates angels and makes them, there could be millions to every demon. So you shouldn't be afraid of demons. They're greatly outnumbered. And if God can send one angel to bind Satan, which is what the Bible says is going to happen, well, if one angel can bind Satan, then one angel can bind all the demons, you know, in your life as well. So I wouldn't be afraid of demons. Be a God chaser, not a demon chaser. Demon chasing will just fill you with fear. So don't testify for the devil. Testify for God. Look for angels. You hear a noise, assume it's an angel, not a devil. And you'll live a lot better life that way. But the Bible talks about a choir in heaven that sings. It also talks about elders that sing in heaven, which are glorified beings. It also talks about animals in Revelation chapter 5. It also talks about animals singing. And so, you know, that's another story for another day. But I believe all animals go to heaven. And I'm sure I'll get some questions about that. But that's not my opinion. That's what the Bible says in Revelation 5, I believe that's verse 13 or somewhere around there that it says that. Here's something that you probably assumed, and you are correct if you have, that angels carry our dead loved ones to their heavenly home. So that is true. A lot of people that die see angels in the room, and there's a lot of indications. I've heard this story, and I've actually been in the room where this has happened. But I've heard this story over and over and over, where someone was dying and they would wake up and then they would smile or raise their hands towards somebody. I had a staff member that worked for me, and his wife called me. He passed away and he was very sick. He was a wonderful man. His name was Randy McDonald. And his wife called me and said, you know, Randy had gotten so sick that he wasn't able to really talk. And they said the day he passed, they were all in the room with him, gathered around him, and that he woke up and he was unable to speak at this point in time. But he opened his eyes real big and smiled and raised his hands like he was reaching toward something, and she believes it was Jesus or angels, that, and that's when he passed away. And she said his last, you know, his last notions or last movement here on this earth was reaching his arms out towards something he saw in the room. But I've actually heard people say before, do you see that? They're all in this room. I mean, they actually could articulate that they saw angels in the room, or people would say an angel come to visit me. I've had Muslim people who told me after they converted that it was a man in white that came and sat on their bed and talked to them. And either it was Christ or it was an angel that came and described Christianity to them and told them the fallacies of the Quran and how the Bible was true and the Quran was not. So I've heard that story more than one time. And of course, if you go on the internet, that story is everywhere. So angels do carry our loved ones to their heavenly home. Luke 16 is the one that verifies that. That's the story of Lazarus and dying, who was the beggar. And the Bible talks about the angels carrying him to the bosom of Abraham. And so that was, it's not just something that we've seen, even though there is a lot of evidence of that, something the Bible also indicates as well. You know, I think the primary role of angels on this earth is to be God's messengers. They are ambassadors with authority on assignment to come and do something God's asked them to do. But many times in the Bible, they came to deliver a message, you know, to bring a word to someone. That happened to Daniel, that happened to Zechariah in the Old Testament, Zacharias the priest, the father of John the Baptist. It happened to Mary, it happened to Joseph, it happened to the shepherds. You know, they told them where to go find the baby in the manger. It happened to the apostles many times. It happened to Philip, you know, whenever God transported him to show this Ethiopian eunuch the about Christ, and he baptized him, and then he transported him to another city. It happened to the house of Cornelius. It happened to John in the book of Revelation. So we can go on and on and on about angels that came to deliver a word. I told you a story about an angel that delivered a word to me. And the only thing, this angel appeared as an older woman, and all the angel said to me was, God's getting you ready for what he has ready for you. And that was the word from the Lord. And I'm living that out now. So that has already come to pass. And I realized that this angel was announcing a transition, a major transition in my life. And I can hold on to that because you know how it is in the hallway of transition. Everything looks a lot worse before it looks better. You can't see the end of the story yet. But, you know, angels are also there to teach. So they not only deliver words, they come to teach. So I'll close this session with another personal story of what I believe was an angel, but I could not see this angel. I've written several books, I think 49 books now. I just wrote a book called The Anatomy of the Soul that's about to come out here in a few weeks. So that's my 49th book. But when I was writing a book called The Unlocking the Prophecy Code, I was living in St. Louis at the time, and I had this beautiful backyard, and I would go out on this patio in my backyard, and I would sit in this chair, and I was trying to write this book. Well, I was one morning when I was out there, it's where I did my prayer and devotion in the mornings, I knew that someone was talking to me, and it said, I want to show you something, and it began to show me anatomy in the body and how it represented scriptures in the Bible. This was the first revelation I was given. It said that, you know, you have 12, you have 33 vertebrae in your body when you're born. A baby does. And I didn't know that. I just wrote it down as I was told. And that represents the 33 years that Christ lived on the earth. It's a timeline. And coming out of the left side of that timeline, or coming out of the left side of that spinal cord, is 12 ribs. And that represents the 12 tribes of Israel. And coming out of the right side is 12 more ribs that are different because they're not connected, but they look the same. And that's the 12 apostles of the New Testament. So the Lord was telling me that there is a part of you that represents the Old Testament, a part of you that represents the New Testament. And then you begin to describe how these ribs are separated. You have seven that attach to the sternum bone, which is, God's number of completion or perfection. So that's God's work in Israel. That's God's work in the church. And then you have five more below that that are representing grace, because five is the number of grace. So you have five representing the grace God has given to Israel and the grace God has given to the church. And then of those five, they're separated again. Three of those attach at the back and two of those do not. They're called floating ribs. And so of these false ribs, these five false ribs anatomy, that's what we read in our anatomy book, anatomical books, those five represent grace, but those three that attach to the back of those five represent the foundation of all things, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the divine nature of God. So three is God's signature. So you have three on each side, and then you have two that are floating ribs that aren't attached to the timeline. They're not attached to anything. They're just at the bottom. And two is the number of Messiah, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Even when he died on the cross, he was the man in the middle. He is called the second Adam, by the Apostle Paul. So two is the number of Messiah. And so I realized that the Lord was showing me that that is the Messiah that the Jewish people are longing for and looking for. And that is the Messiah that we know has already been born, died, rose again, and is coming back again, which is Jesus Christ. And so when the Lord showed me that, I had no knowledge of any of this. I just wrote it down. And I even thought, am I making this up? And I had to look it up, in Google. And it was all true. Everything I'd been told was true. I'd never heard anyone say it. I'd never read it anywhere. I was taught that. So for 21 days, this happened, and I was taught new things every single day that I wrote in this book, Unlocking the Prophecy Code. It was all revelation to me. That was brand new revelation. He went through the parables of Jesus and all of this. So, I didn't know if this was the Holy Spirit revealing this to me or if this was an angel. So for the longest time, I said, the Lord sent me a teaching angel, because it was like every morning when I would go to my backyard, he was waiting on me. And so I do believe that it was a divine assignment, whether it was the Holy Spirit revealing it or whether it was an angel revealing it. I kind of lean toward that God sent an angel just to teach me how to write that book and open up my mind to revelation. And since then, God's given me a gift of revelation from that experience to where I get those kind of things all the time now, which is kind of an unusual gift to have, but it comes with great responsibility. Well, I hope this lesson has blessed you. We've talked a lot about angels and what they do and given you a couple great stories about how angels interact with people even now. So I hope you understand by now there's angels all around you. You have guardian angels. They're in your house. They ride in your car. And if it's like the lady in Gallup, New Mexico, they're even forming a canopy over your bed. God bless you.